Hi, this is Debbie Voiles with Beginner Runner Village podcast number 43, 10-day Become a Runner class, day 8, nutrition and running for weight loss. Most runners start running to lose weight or to help control their weight. Once, for fun, I did a blog post on the topic of why people run, and I was amazed that about 90% say they either started running to lose weight or they had lost weight and started running to keep it off. You might be surprised at what those people look like, too. Many of them had elite runner bodies. You'd never dream that they had ever worried about their weight. But some of them have been running for many, many years. The fact that this has been going on for decades proves that running does help with weight loss, but it's not as simple as you might think. Starting running to lose weight really isn't a good idea, but starting running to help with weight loss is a good idea. In this episode, I'll explain some basics that should help you to be successful. For one thing, running will help you get a better grasp on how much you need to eat to have the energy to go about your daily life. Most people have a totally unrealistic view of how many calories you burn during the day. Here is a good place to start. Imagine a football field. Now imagine an M&M. How many yards do you think you would need to run to burn off the calories of that single M&M? I'll give you a few seconds to think that over. Okay, I'll give you a hint. A single M&M has 3 calories. Are you ready? You would have to run 100 yards, the full length of the football field, to burn the calories of that one M&M. Here's another example. Once, I was invited to be a guest speaker at the Great American Teach-In. I wanted to help the kids, a group of 7th graders, understand the value of a calorie. So I put 2 Oreos in each of 30 plastic sandwich bags and gave each student a bag. Then I took them outside and said, "We're going to walk around the track until you've burned off the calories in one of those Oreo cookies." Now, these were standard Oreo cookies. Now, and the track, I should tell you, was a standard quarter-mile track. They loved the game. So we went outside and started walking. Here's your next question. How many laps of the track did they need to walk to burn off the calories in one Oreo? Well, a single Oreo has 53 calories. So since a mile burns off about 100 calories, they needed to walk 2 laps. Because if 4 laps equals 100 calories burned, because 4 laps is a mile, then half of that would be around 50 calories. That had a great impact on those kids. In fact, they were flabbergasted. Of course, a serving of Oreos is actually 3 cookies, so they'd need to do about 6 laps. That was even more mind-boggling to them. Of course, we now know it's not as simple as calories in and calories out. The calories in kale or spinach are not the same as the calories in a donut or a piece of cake. One, because those cruciferous vegetables have lots of great fiber. 2, because they're chock full of valuable vitamins and minerals. And 3, they don't have any preservatives, dye, or flavorings. However, it is helpful for people to grasp the concept of how much effort it takes to burn off a calorie. Running a mile burns off, as I said, about 100 calories, no matter your speed. Of course, the exact number of calories burned depends on your weight. So it could be, I think, maybe as much as 130. I'm not sure. And if you're going fast, you burn off a little bit more, but it's an insignificant amount. The point is that your speed makes very little difference. In fact, walking a mile burns off almost exactly the same amount. The way speed comes into play, though, is that the faster you go, the more miles you can cover in a given time. So people think of it as running, burning off more calories than walking. Well, in the same space of time it would, but it's simply because you cover more miles. I've seen people get crazy about trying to get in more miles to lose weight faster. But the problem with this attitude is that it often leads to overuse injuries. The goal is always to be reasonable. It's fine to build up a lot of miles within reason, and that will burn off a greater number of calories. But you need to do this over months, not weeks. And you never want to get obsessive about it. No weight loss journey will be successful if it's 100% based on exercise of any kind. In the last episode about injury prevention, I cautioned against getting overly enthusiastic and adding miles here and there. This is most likely in the beginner runner trying to lose weight. Sometimes they're wearing a fitness tracker that gives them rewards and badges based on the number of steps that person takes. Being active is great, but be careful with this. Stick to a reasonable running program and only add extra steps by walking, and even then, build up gradually. If you get hurt, you might be relegated to zero steps for a while, and you won't burn any calories then. Another great way to burn calories is by biking and other gentle cross-training. Swimming, for example, is a great alternative exercise if you want to burn some more calories. Another thing, don't sabotage your weight loss plan. Most people know their downfalls. Maybe it's that latte you get every afternoon on your break that adds 300 calories a day. That may not seem like that much, but if you get that 300-calorie latte 5 days a week, just on work days, that adds up to, are you ready? For an entire year, 78,000 calories. That's 23 pounds. And don't kid yourself. Read labels. Think Greek yogurt is always healthy? Well, it might be if it's plain Greek yogurt, but many yogurts are full of sugar. And as you probably know by now, sugar is the bad guy, or certainly part of it. The demon people thought fat was, not that all fat is good, of course, but that's another topic. Did you know some popular brands of Greek yogurt have 8 teaspoons of sugar? Read the labels. Here's another quick quiz. How many grams of sugar make up 8 teaspoons? This is important because sometimes you look at a label and see a number of grams of sugar and it doesn't sound like very many. Well, 32 grams of sugar equals 8 teaspoons. So just imagine. Imagine the size of a standard cup of yogurt, say, let's say 8 ounces, although some are 6 now. Imagine putting 8 teaspoons of table sugar in that. You would never do that, but that's what's in it if it has 32 grams of sugar. And remember, sugar causes inflammation. Anyway, here's how people sabotage their weight loss plan. They start feeling really great about their running journey, as they should. But they generalize that because they're doing so much more exercise, it's okay to have that one extra cookie every day. Boom! That one cookie may be all it takes to keep them from losing. Remember, most of the cookies today are much bigger than they were when I was a kid. They're big enough that they have minimum 200 calories, and some of them have up to 400 calories. You'd have to go 4 miles to make up for a 400-calorie cookie. I know it may seem like you're doing so much exercise, but a few miles isn't really all that much. It's just that you're not used to it yet. You certainly don't need to eat extra. On the contrary, look at your whole diet, what you're eating, when you're eating, and how much you're eating, and avoid the temptation to pat yourself on the back for your hard work and reward yourself with a treat. Another thing is to take care of your whole life. You won't lose weight if you're too stressed, and running too much can actually increase stress, so you got to be reasonable. Another reason to take it easy. If you have too much stress in other areas of your life, it's possible that no amount of exercise will result in any real weight loss because your cortisol level will be high. It's critical to look at all areas of your life and strive for an overall healthy lifestyle. If you want to lose weight, you need to do all the healthy things. Exercise, eat a reasonable diet, get plenty of sleep, meditate, play. Yes, play. Socialize, have fun. This will reduce your stress level. Another reason to reduce stress is that you'll have more willpower and make better decisions when you're relaxed and happy. My advice is not to demand too much of yourself. Be reasonable. If you haven't been keeping up with common knowledge about healthy eating, please do your research. Find information from the last several years and no older because the general guidance has changed massively. Don't rely on 10-year-old knowledge back when experts were still advising you to eat low fat. Look where that led. If you start to read the advice of a nutritionist and that person is across the board saying saturated fat is bad, you know to move on to an expert that is up on recent dietary information and knows that some saturated fat is bad, of course, but some is quite healthy, such as nuts, avocados, and olive oil. Additionally, learn about the effect of a high-carb diet and know that most coaches no longer support the philosophy of carb loading before running events. Of course, even if that was a good idea, it wouldn't apply to a beginner. I just want to throw that out there because some beginners might be thinking that one day they'll do a marathon and wouldn't it be great to carb load? Sorry, but we don't do that anymore. There are many healthy ways to eat And I'm not going to tell you which one you should follow. But I do want you to succeed on your weight loss journey. And I want you to understand that you can ignore your diet, that you can't ignore your diet, and just rely on running. It won't happen, and it won't make you healthy. I also advise you to research gut health. That can certainly impact your weight loss success. I highly recommend the book titled The Gut Balance Revolution, written by an MD that's a gastroenterologist who struggled with his weight the whole time he was growing up. It's really a good book. And he won't push supplements. He doesn't push any supplements or even any commercial probiotics. He recommends real foods that have a beneficial impact on your gut biome. Take some time and learn about these things. The bad effects of diet sodas, the problems with simple carbs, the healthy versus unhealthy oils, and the difference between omega-3s and omega-6s, timing of eating, intermittent fasting, what combination of macros is right for you, and by macros we mean ratio of carbs to protein to fat. When it comes to eating, just be reasonable. I know I keep saying that, but it applies. And don't feel like you have to pursue some complicated new diet. If you just follow some wise guidelines, you should be fine. I love this quote by Michael Pollan. Eat real food, mostly fruits and vegetables, and not much. Yeah, I guess I could condense this whole podcast into that. Bottom line, most people will see tremendous improvement if they just stop eating processed food and stop eating and drinking empty calories. All the experts will tell you, you don't need to be hungry, and carbs are not all equal. It would be pretty hard to eat too many Brussels sprouts or too much broccoli or kale. Those are complex carbs packed with nutrition. Cruciferous veggies are not making people fat, but since they contain lots of fiber, they will make you full, which is good, and it's healthy. Pop-Tarts, breakfast cereal, donuts, and bagels, on the other hand, are simple carbs, and they will certainly have an entirely different impact on your weight as well as your blood sugar, which brings me to this point about diabetes. Many people striving to lose weight are either pre-diabetic or have diabetes. If you have any health issues, make sure your doctor is advising you. If your doctor doesn't approve of running, though, move on to another doctor because you can find plenty of doctors that think running is really good exercise for just about anybody. A great resource for different ways of eating is a pair of podcast episodes by Ben Greenfield titled What Should I Eat? The Ultimate Podcast Guide to Choosing the Perfect Diet for You, Parts 1 and 2. Now, he says perfect diet for you. There's a lot of different ways to eat. And even if you're just moving towards generally eating a healthier diet, you can still learn a lot by listening to those episodes. I'll put the links in the show notes. And I'm going to list the names of some books that I really like as well, and I will put links to those in the show notes. The Gut Balance Revolution, It Starts with Food, Good Calories, Bad Calories, The Complete Guide to Fasting, Eat the Yolks, and Grain Brain. Those are some of my favorites. Now here's a quote, but I actually have several for you today. Discipline is choosing between what you want and what you want. Oh, I blew that. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Research your body, your health. Listen to a wide variety of nutrition podcasts by certified nutritionists. Talk to your doctor and evaluate how you feel as you make changes in your diet. Now here's another quote. Sometimes it's the smallest decisions that can change your life forever. That's by Carrie Russell. It's the many small decisions that determine weight loss success, decisions you make throughout every day. But the way to look at it is that each time you make a decision will give you greater confidence and resolve to make the next good decision, which brings me to the very last quote. Good decisions come from experience, and experience comes from bad decisions.